Tatat sparsha rupadi madhuri vaditaya savisheshasya sakshad bhagavat amba jyotisham sutaram eva tat siddhyati. Therefore, the actual radiance of the Supreme Lord's body, full of variety, by having the charm of touch, form, and so on, can even more certainly be proven to be so, to be not different from him. Okay, Brahman, impersonal Brahman, we talked in the last paragraph, we made the point that impersonal Brahman is actually not different from Bhagavan. And that's not supposed to have any form or any qualities. But look at the actual effulgence of God, his body. The Brahman is supposed to be the effulgence of his body. Well, look at the effulgence of his body. That effulgence is full of qualities. It's full of variety by having the charm of touch, form, and so on. So certainly that's non-different from him, because it shares his qualities. Yatoktam Shri Hari Vamshe Mahakala Purakyane Shrimad Arjunam Prati Swayam Bhagavata. This is as stated in Shri Hari Vamsha in the description of Mahakalapur by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Shrimad Arjuna. So similarly, as there was the narration of Krishna and Arjuna visiting Lord Mahakala, Mahavishnu, in the covering of the universe. So it seems like the same pastime is also described in the Hari Vamsha. And Krishna tells Arjuna, Brahma Tejo Mayam Divyam Mahadya Drishtavanasi Ahamsa Bharata Shrestha Matejas Tat Sanatanam Prakriti Samamapara Vyakta Vyakta Sanatani Tam Pravishya Bhavatiha Mukta Yoga Viruttama Sasankhyanam Gatiparta Yoginam Tapaswinam Tat Param Paramam Brahma Sarvam Vibhajate Jagat Mamaiva Tadgano Tejo Gyatamarhasi Bharata. These words, the last six lines, at least the last four lines, are quoted, I think, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Prabhupada, I think, even quoted in some lectures. It's fairly commonly quoted. But usually it's the last four lines taken as a single verse. We were wondering today and yesterday, what is this Brahmajyoti anyway? You know, is it Krishna, is it Brahman, is Krishna's effulgence, is it really Brahman or not? What is it? Well, we got an answer here from those who actually saw it, and we hear it right from Krishna's mouth. He and Arjuna are traveling through the covers of the universe. They're in the middle of the Brahmajyoti, and Krishna is describing the Brahmajyoti to Arjuna. So he says about the Brahmajyoti, the word he uses here is not Brahmajyoti, but Brahmatejo. But that same thing, the light of Brahman, or the light that is Brahman. Krishna told Arjuna, this vast expanse of divine Brahman effulgence, which you have seen, O best of the Bharatas, I myself am that. So Krishna right here is saying, that's me. So you're asking, why do we say that the Brahman effulgence, the Brahmajyoti, is Krishna? Because Krishna says it is. I myself am that. This infinite light of mine is eternal. It is my superior, eternal nature, both manifest and unmanifest. The most expert knowers of yoga who enter it become liberated. It is the goal of the proponents of Sankhya, O Partha, and of the austere yogis. It is the supreme transcendental Brahman, pervading the entire universe. My dear descendant of Partha, know that it is my concentrated effulgence. He's talking in impersonal terms, but he also said at the top, that's me. It looks impersonal, it's described impersonally, but it's me. So it is. It's not ultimately impersonal. It just looks impersonal. Notice, we're quoting, Jiva Swami here is quoting from Harivamsa. Throughout most of the Sundarbhas after the first one, most of the quotes come out of the Bhagavatam directly, out of the Bhagavatam itself. He sometimes quotes other books, but the primary authority, the evidence, source of evidence for the Sundarbhas, everything Jiva Swami has to say is what the Bhagavatam itself says. But in this case, he picks out this choice quote from the Harivamsa, in which Krishna is he and Arjuna are standing in the middle of the Brahmajyoti, and Krishna is describing the Brahmajyoti to Arjuna. That's too good to ignore, so he quotes it. Let me go on. Iti prakritir iti tat prabhat tvena swarupa shakti tvam api tasya nirdishnam. The word nature indicates that Brahman is the Supreme Lord's internal energy because it is his effulgence. Okay, now here another thing that may be confusing. That now it's Krishna's energy. It's Krishna, but it's also his energy. But Brahman, we understand to be not Bhagavan Shakti, but actually Bhagavan. But Jiva Goswami here says, he says it's my prakriti. Prakriti means energy. So it's the Brahman Jyoti, the Brahman is the Supreme Lord's energy also. Because why? Because it is his effulgence. Evam purvo dharita kostaba vishayaka Vishnu Purana Vakyam apyeta upod balakatvena drashtavyam. Thus the verse, no. Similarly, the previously cited statement of the Vishnu Purana about the Kaustubha gem should also be seen as supporting this view. What did we say before about the Kaustubha gem? It comes up in the commentary. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll get to it. It was from the Vishnu Purana, first canto of Vishnu Purana, but we'll read it in a second. So that also supports the view that Brahma is an energy of God because it is his effulgence. Tasma dritya evet yapi sadhu eva vyakyatam shrutayaha shri bhagavantam. This verse, which is Bhagavatam 1087:17, was spoken by the Shrutis, the Vedas personified, to the personality of Godhead. Okay, I'll read the commentary to this. Commentary says, effulgence is a sign of divine life. Okay, something is dead won't have an effulgence. So effulgence is a sign of, and ordinary people don't have visible effulgence. Only divine people, gods and so on, have effulgences. Effulgence is a sign of divine life. And thus, in depictions of deities and saints, we often see their heads surrounded by halos. This effulgence is the radiance of the energies of transcendence, minus its variety. Arjuna, by the arrangement of his friend Krishna, saw the effulgence of the Supreme Lord's body during the visit of the two of them made to the residence of Lord Mahakala Vishnu beyond the material coverings of the universe. And it's described in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 89th chapter. Dwarena chakvanupatena tattamak param param jyotirananta param samashnuvanam pasamiksha palgunap pataditaksho pidadekshini ubau ube. Why is there no sandhi between Akshini and Ube? Anyway, maybe we don't stop for that. It's called Pragriha, right? It's a place where there's no merging of vowels. Because Akshini is dual form. After the E, that's a dual form. You don't merge. You don't have a sandhi application. Meaning? Yeah, because if they were neuter, it'd be plural. Oh, no, it's also dvivachana. Okay, so if it's E is dvivachana, dual, then you don't undergo a change. Okay, anyway, translation of that verse. Following the Sudarshan disc, the chariot went beyond the darkness and reached the endless spiritual light of the all-pervasive Brahmajyoti. As Arjun beheld this glaring effulgence, his eyes hurt, and so he shut them. Okay. Continuing. In the Harivamsa Upapuranas, narration of the same journey, Sri Krishna describes the Brahman effulgence as his para prakriti, his own energy, but not his inferior material energy. The Vishnu Purana cited earlier, we cited it all the way back in Under Trade 59. You remember?
Yeah. I don't know. First of all, Jim is part of Krishna's body at the same time as energy.
The cosmic gem? Okay. Anyway, back then in Anucheta 59, this is Anucheta 92 around now, confirms this view of Brahman as an expansion of the Supreme Lord's body. In this case, as the jewel he wears on his chest. So Brahman expands as the Kaustubha gem on Krishna's chest. Atmanam asya jagato nirlepam aguna malam bibharti kaustubha manir swarupam bhagavan harihi. The Supreme Lord Hari wears himself. Himself is the object. He wears himself. The soul of this universe, pure, uncontaminated, and untouched by the material modes in his true form of the Kaustubha gem. That's what Vishnu Purana tells us. This should be adequate evidence to justify the interpretation of the Shruti's prayer, beginning Dritya Eva, as glorifying the supremacy of the Ananda Maya Purusha and the rightness of selfless devotion to him. Okay, any questions?
So this Kaustubha?
Yeah, go ahead.
Kaustubha Jan is Krishna himself, that's what it is.
Yeah.
What is the meaning of Supreme Lord Hari wears himself, the soul of the universe, pure?
Well, he wears the jewel, right?
Yeah.
What does he do with the jewel? He wears it on his chest,
yeah.
on a string. And the point is, the jewel is not different from him. And which? Yeah, that's all. Those are our descriptions of Atmanam. But Kaustubha Mani Swarupa, himself in the form of the Kaustubha gem. Swarupa means same person, that's his himself. And that's described as pure, uncontaminated, untouched by that jewel. Yeah. Well, Brahman at the same time is formless, and it's also full of variety. The only way to reconcile that is it has no material form, no material qualities, but it's got all spiritual qualities. Because it is Brahman, and we just called it Aguna, Nirlepa, untouched by anything, without any qualities. Right here, the words are used. That same Brahman is a jewel on Krishna's chest. Well, a jewel sitting on a chest is not something with no form. It's got a form, it's got a location, it's got qualities. There's an apparent contradiction. But that's what Brahman is. It's both formless, it's about without qualities and full of qualities. Without material qualities, but actually full of spiritual qualities. That's Brahman. That's significant. What we're doing here is this whole section we're discussing what's Brahman. There's six sandarbhas. Jiva Goswami said earlier on, we're not going to write a separate Brahma Purana. We say a number of things in the second Brahma. We're not going to write a separate Brahma Sandarbha. In this Bhagavat Sandarbha, the second one, and then the Paramatma Sandarbha, we say quite a few things about Brahman. You can consider that the Brahma Sandarbha. You know, the parts of these two sandarbhas that talk about Brahman. Brahman is also explained. Vedanti Tattvavidas, the whole sandarbha is supposed to explain that verse. The absolute truth is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So we also have to understand or explain Brahman, and that's being done now. But Brahman as an aspect of Krishna, of the absolute truth. When we get to the end of the sandarbhas, we will be introduced to the intimate, loving relationships of Krishna and the devotees in Vraja. That's the real folk aim. We're learning about Brahman to facilitate reaching that aim. Yes? Well, bright light. I mean, that's where they are right now. They're trying to reach the world of Lord Mahavishnu. They have to go through the coverings. Now they're going through this covering, this brilliant effulgence. You know, maybe they'd say they've reached the end of the material creation. Now they're entering the Brahmajyoti, and Arjuna's blinded by the light. So in the most literal sense, it's light. It's a brilliant light. Well, I'm looking for the word here in Sanskrit, concentrated. That's what we said in the translation? Oh, where are you? I'm sorry, where is that? Oh, Tad Ghanam Tejam. Yeah, very dense light. I think that means what we perceive as brilliant light. I don't know how the physics works, but bright light has probably got more particles in it. You know, it's denser. Light that's not very bright is thin, and a light that's bright is thick. Is that correct scientifically? There's more photons in it? And so when you're coming out from the material world, and you crash through the coverings of the universe, and you enter the Brahmajyoti, the impression you get is this is very thick light, very brilliant light. I can't even get through it. I can't even see. You know, you're blinded by it. That's how Arjuna's experiencing it. Yes? Yes.
Because Krishna is the source of all the objects.
Yes.
So he must be very
careful. Yeah, put all the lights together, and even more than that, that's how much light Krishna has. Okay. Any other comments on this before we move? Yes.
You said Brahman is
Well, it is, but Brahman realization ignores the qualities.
So, that is, because you want to merge into Brahman, Brahman reveals itself as lacking the spiritual qualities.
Right. People who want to merge, they generally don't want to see the qualities. They want the qualities not to show. They want the Supreme to be without qualities. Actually, the Supreme can't do that. It can't get rid of its qualities, but it can hide them. You know, to satisfy those who don't want those qualities to be there. Well, what is their desire actually? They want to annihilation? They want to go out of existence? Or they want to become God? What is the desire anyway? When someone wants to merge, why does he want to merge? Because it's, you know, it's cold outside and it's really warm inside Brahman, so let me merge into Brahman because I'm cold. What's the motive?
They want to lose their individual identity.
Okay, or assume the identity of God. Or assume the identity of God by merging. Okay. They can't be satisfied in that because that can't be done. You're a living entity. You can't become nothing. You can't go out of existence. It just can't be done. That desire can't be fulfilled. Nor can you become God. You're not God, you never will be. So that's an impossible desire. It's got to be frustrated. And so because their desires aren't, that desire is not fulfilled, therefore there's a good chance that they'll fall down, those who go to the Brahmajyoti. Because what they went there for, they don't get. You can't get it. You can't become nothing, you can't become everything.
Then someone can say that if Brahman cannot fulfill the desire of being non-existent, they may say this is something lacking, it's not all powerful. So what do you say to them? Is it by his own?
Who's saying, you know, who's asking that question? An impersonalist? No, but if you're an impersonalist asking that question, I would say you have no right to ask that question. You're talking about Brahman fulfilling desires. Brahman's not a person. So don't criticize him for not fulfilling your desires. That's not his business because he's not a person. It's like a Buddhist starting to argue about what God is like. So logicians will say you don't have a right to talk about God because you deny that God, there is such a thing as God. So if you deny there is a God, you have no right to talk about what God is like. The same thing, you impersonalists say that Brahman is not a person. Now you're asking about why he doesn't fulfill your desires. That's not fair. Yeah. If he's not a person, don't expect him to do something for you. If a devotee asks that question, then you know that devotee is confused. You have to explain things to him also. That it's not a proper desire for a devotee to want to merge. I don't know if the brightness goes away. I think you just your spiritual eyes open up. You focus into the spiritual light, and you can perceive it. But it remains bright. It's not that it's only bright on the outside. You know what I mean?
Your
eyes become spiritualized, and you can see. You can see through it. But until your eyes become spiritually accultured, you're blinded. You can't see anything. The light doesn't change, but your ability to perceive it develops. Yeah.
Think of a bright light comes, of course we can't.
Yeah, like somebody's sitting in the dark for weeks and he opens the door and goes outside. He's temporarily blinded. It's just his eyes have to adjust. It's not that, you know, you go outside and the light dims after a minute. It doesn't work like that. It's daylight outside and it will stay daylight. Okay. We've reached the end of the file. I'll read one more paragraph in the next file, and then we'll switch. I have to open file 27. There are 35 files in the Wholesome Dharma. We're on text 93. Text 93 has, let's see how many paragraphs, a lot. 7, 8, 9, 10, at least 10 paragraphs, maybe more. So we start, 93. Still talking about Brahman. Yes. When did we start talking about? I don't remember.
How long will this continue?
I'm not sure. If you, yeah, I'd have to take a look. It would take me about 5 minutes to find out. Yeah. Not till the end. There's only 101 anuchedas in the whole book. If I remember right, 93 is huge. I think it's 33 paragraphs in it. That might be the end of the discussion of Brahman. But this is going to go on for... two files or three files. Anyway, let's see what it says here. Tatascha yasmin padama brihati samanya kara satayas taranga jyoti sho pi brihatvena brahmatvam tasmin eva mukya tat shabda praviti. Consequently, the primary reference of the word Brahman is to that supreme great whose bodily effulgence, the undifferentiated form of his existence, is also Brahman because it is infinitely great. Now, we noticed before that the word Brahman seems to be used in more than one different way. Because Brahman can mean the impersonal supreme, or Brahman can mean the supreme in general, personal and also impersonal. So, what's the primary meaning of the word? What's the literal basic meaning? That's what's said right here. The primary reference, the main meaning of the chief meaning of the word Brahman is the supreme great whose bodily effulgence, the undifferentiated. So, it's not the bodily effulgence, it's the person who has the effulgence, is the real, the chief meaning of the word Brahman. What Brahman ultimately is Krishna. But he's got his bodily effulgence, and that bodily effulgence is also called Brahman. Why? Because it's infinitely great. That effulgence is infinite, all expansive. And the word Brahma means brimayati, it expands infinitely. That's why the effulgence can be called Brahman. But the original idea of Brahman is Krishna himself. Okay. Tatacha Brahmye Ananto Bhagavan Brahma Anandit Yadi Bhik Padai Prochate Vishnure Vaiko Aikak Padesham Upacharataha Iti. And the Brahma Purana tells us by the term Brahman and by the term Ananda, in other words, other terms, what is named is the unlimited personality of Godhead Vishnu, him only. He's named by the term Brahma and the term Ananda. Others are called by these names only metaphorically. Literal meaning of the word Brahman is the name of Vishnu. No, there's two different... The first word in the verse is Ananta. On the second line, the first word is Ananda. The unlimited Bhagavan is known by the terms Brahma, Ananda, and so on. Okay, so it is Ananda, bliss. In the Puranas, it said that Brahma is bliss. Okay?
What is
what?
What is metaphorically?
means literally Brahman is the name of Vishnu.
Yeah.
Only secondarily is it somebody else's name. He's the real Brahman. And others are borrowing that name. So it's only metaphorically or secondarily their name. Like, we call him, you know, the lion among men. He's not literally a lion. He's only in a metaphorical way a lion. So impersonal, so-called, Brahman is not really Brahman. Real Brahman has qualities and it is personal. It's actually Krishna.
Others in plural, other than impersonal Brahman, what else are
Well, I'm using others in the masculine here because Parishan could be neuter. We don't say. The verse only says Parishan, of others.
Yeah.
That could be masculine or neuter. So it's very generic, very general. It doesn't specify. Nothing else can have the name, literally. Nothing or nobody.
Others are called by these names only metaphorically.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to change it. Other beings, okay? Because other sounds too masculine. Or other sounds like people.
Others are people.
But it's not only people. People or things, really. Paresham can be neuter also. So I'm changing the translation right now. Instead of saying just others, which sounds like other people, I'm saying other beings, okay, which can also be impersonal. Well, first of all, we have the famous Brahman, the impersonal Brahman, which isn't a person. That's the first thing that you would think of calling Brahman, is impersonal Brahman.
Yeah.
So, but there are also people who might get called Brahman. Yeah. There's Shabda Brahman. There's someone. Brahma is called Brahma. It's just that his name, because he's a man, his name gets a masculine ending, but it's really the same word. I think the Madhvites don't see any difference between impersonal Brahman and Lord Brahma. I think they take him to be the same thing. The impersonal Brahman and Lord Brahma. At least Brahma is the name of both of them. And it's just, you know, masculine or neuter form of the same name. Yes?
That might be where
Yeah, he just, Monia Williams at least is lumping the two together, Lord Brahma and personal Brahma. Okay. I don't know where he gets that from. Let's finish this up. Kvachit chananta guna yukta tvena bhagavan brahmeti uchite. And in some context, the personality of Godhead is called Brahma. You're talking about or to the personality of Godhead, and you're calling him Brahman. Why? Because he possesses unlimited qualities. So he gets to be, the personality of Godhead deserves to be called Brahman because he's unlimited. He has unlimited qualities. As in the Padma Purana, Yata Padme, Pritang Vaktum Gunas Tasya Nashakyante Mitatvataha Yatoto Brahma Shabdena Sarvesham Grahanam Bhave Etasmad Brahma Shabdo Sau Vishnoreva Visheshanam Amito Iguno Yasmat Nanyesham Tam Vite Vibhum. It is not possible to speak separately about all of his, Vishnu's, qualities because he is immeasurable. Thus, all his qualities together are understood by the word Brahman. Because those qualities are unlimited. Therefore, his qualities are called Brahman. And for this reason, the word Brahman is a description of Vishnu only. Since his qualities alone are unlimited, no one other than him, the Almighty Lord, can be described as Brahman. So we actually are talking about other people being Brahman. Anyway, this is a short commentary here. Let me just read it. Although in the Upanishads and elsewhere, the term Brahma most often names the impersonal conception of the Supreme, it is first of all a name of Bhagavan. All names belong originally to Bhagavan and everyone else, including the impersonal Supreme. Everyone else, including the impersonal Supreme, they borrow names from him. The Brahma Purana confirms this, describing the application of the name Brahman to others as only figurative. In other words, impersonal Brahman is not really the greatest. Another reason why Bhagavan is the real Brahman is that he is all expansive by his unlimited qualities. Okay, any short question on that? Or is that clear enough? Yeah, and also it doesn't describe his ecstatic, because it doesn't describe his qualities, his pastimes. Devotees are not so attracted to, it's a Gauna name, it's a secondary name because it doesn't describe his pastimes and qualities. Therefore it's not so ecstatically pleasing to the devotees.
There is one verse comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Brahma Shabde Mukhya Arthe Kohe Bhagavan.
Yeah.
Chit Aishwarya Paripurna Anudandra Samana. So, that is the word this verse. Brahma Shabde Mukhya Arthe Kohe Bhagavan means. Is it? I
don't know. No. Brahma Shabde what?
Brahma Shabde Mukhya Arthe Kohe
Bhagavan. I think he's paraphrasing exactly what Yoga Swami is saying here, that the primary, the word Brahman and its primary meaning refers to Bhagavan. Exactly what's being said there. Is that instruction to? Okay, maybe the Jiva Goswami picked up on that and said what he's saying here, just following that instruction by Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Shall we stop now? Okay. But we'd like, yes, it's Maharaj.
One could be understood. Brahman is supreme, it is the Brahman of the four things. The two Brahmas.
Well, I don't. Brahman the Supreme and Brahman Effulgence, they're two different Brahmans. No, there's only one Brahman. And that Brahman is identical with the personality of Godhead. There can't be. There isn't two different Supremes. The Effulgence is the Supreme. But it's not literally. What we were discussing yesterday is it said that the Brahman Effulgence is only only figuratively the impersonal Supreme. The Brahman Effulgence, the light coming from Krishna's body, it is Krishna. It's not any different from Krishna. It's light from his body. And Krishna and his body are the same. There's no difference. But the effulgence coming from Krishna's body is not really impersonal. Therefore, it's not the impersonal Supreme. Or in other words, the impersonal Supreme isn't really impersonal. The Supreme is a person. It just sometimes looks like it's impersonal. In some people's eyes, it's impersonal. And it disguises itself and hides itself. It seems to be impersonal. But it's not that there's no difference between the effulgence and the person and the so-called impersonal Supreme. They're all the same. Different ways of looking at the same one absolute truth. Yeah, exactly. It's all in the eyes of the person who's trying to realize. According to his ability, those who can't understand the qualities, they see it as impersonal. That's actually basic theme of this Sundarbas. That taking the statement in the beginning of the Bhavatam, that the same one absolute truth is called Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. That means that different people have different abilities to understand. And those who can't understand the personality, they take it to be impersonal. Okay? Yes?
In your commentary, you have written second line.
I just closed the file, you can tell me.
You have mentioned all names belong originally to Bhagavan and everyone else, including the impersonal Supreme, borrowed names from him. So you have written this on the view.
All the names are originally Vishnu's names. That's Ramanuja's big point. All the names belong to Vishnu. All names. Names of demigods, names of anybody. Even the name Brahman originally belongs to Lord Narayan. In the Krishna Lila Stava, Sanatana Goswami, before he starts telling the pastimes of the 10th canto, the Vrindavan pastimes, he offers some general glorification of Krishna. But he starts by glorifying him as the impersonal Brahman. He calls him Brahman and a few other things, and then he calls him Brahma Brahma, the Brahman of Brahman. So,
what is it?
I don't remember what it's supposed to mean. I translated it as something, the Brahman of Brahman, and there was a commentator who gave some explanation. But I don't remember what it was. Okay, so we'll see. Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
Is it referring to Vishnu of Kadras? Is it referring to Vishnu of Kadras? Who sees him?
It really does. Because there is no separate entity, there is no separate impersonal thing. It's not separate. Brahman, so called impersonal Brahman, is not separate from Krishna, and it's not really impersonal. So it's all, we think we're talking about impersonal Brahman. It's something. It's really something in your imagination. It's in your eyes. There is an impersonal Brahman. Krishna chooses as his pastime to disguise himself and pretend to be impersonal, but it's because there are many people in the world who want him to be impersonal. So he's just humoring or going along with the desires of living entities who want him to hide his personality. This is a confusing topic. We've been scratching our heads for the last week trying to get through this.
It's a new concept, but
yeah, I mean, it's just simpler to say, Lord Shiva, anybody who's a devotee of Lord Shiva, he's our enemy, and this and that. So we just think that also, this impersonal Brahma is one of these bogus deities that people worship. But it's not, it's Krishna. Okay, so we still have an hour before lunch. We usually stop classes at 12:30. 12:30 is what time it is now. We usually stop now, but we could take a few minutes. I'd like to request our respected guests to address us for a few minutes. Give us some instructions on something. Please. Thank you.